for you.
Would you please grab your Bibles? We are in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. As we've been going through the book of Ephesians and looking at the work of God in our lives, and we praise Him for what He's done for us. But also we turn around and we talk about working this out. What does it look like to be a Christian? Right? And because I say I belong to Him, it needs to have a reflection in our lives. And so in here, the end of chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians, Paul starts talking about sort of some of the do's and some of the don'ts. And in here he talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so what I want to do is, as we start going down through this, the verse I'm looking at, it talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit, and that's probably about halfway through this passage. And then we're going to go back and kind of fill in the blanks as we go along. But in here, we need to realize that, look, when I give my life to Christ, when you've accepted Christ, if you haven't done that, let me explain it to you. The Bible says that we are sinners, and we're lost in sin. That sin is that stuff that we do that's contrary to what God wants us to do. And because of that sin, that causes a rift between me and God. Because God is holy and God is perfect. So that gap is pretty big. Right? Because of the sin that's in my life. But because God loves us, He sent His Son. And Jesus came. And He died on the cross for my sins and for your sins. And by Him doing that, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He paid the price for our sins. And the Bible says, look, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If I acknowledge my sinfulness, I acknowledge my need for Him, and I call out to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my life. I want to accept this gift from You. The Bible says that He will come into us. He will forgive us. All our sins are now part of the past. And that's what it means to be a Christian. We're not a Christian because we go to church, or I'm not a Christian because I read my Bible. I come here and I read because I'm a Christian, but with the fact of my relationship with You, with the Lord. And so I would ask each one of them, where am I with the Lord? Have I accepted Him into my life? Have I asked His forgiveness? And if He has, then welcome to the family of God. If you haven't, you're outside of that, and He asks you to come in. It's not an exclusive club. It's not just because I'm so wonderful and great that He offered it to me, because I'm not a good person. Right? But He died for sinners, and in here He saved me from my sins. But one of the things He says that He does, that when we accept Christ as our Savior, that in here He sends the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about God being three persons in one. He's God the Father, God the Son, He's God the Holy Spirit. And in here, He gives us the Holy Spirit of God to work in our lives. Then in here, John talks about what Jesus talks about in chapter 14. He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all the things I have said to you. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life is kind of help us with the whole right and wrong thing. Right? That in here, the Holy Spirit will teach us. Now, hopefully, as I'm going through and I'm talking, that the Holy Spirit will, in you, say, yeah, that sounds right. You ever done that? Right? That in here, you know, the Holy Spirit becomes a teacher. You know, I'm probably not very good at this. I talk too fast. I stumble on my words. I have really bad grammar. Right? But hopefully the Holy Spirit can take these things and help you understand it. And because it acknowledges it. If I'm off base, sometimes you ever hear someone says, oh yeah, the Bible says, and you're like, that doesn't seem right, right? Maybe that's the Holy Spirit in you saying, hold on. But each one of us, if you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Right? That is a promise of God. And He's here to help you along the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Talking about the Holy Spirit. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit in our lives acknowledges and tells us and teaches us and encourages in that walk. Right? Because if I was kind of left on my I mean, I can read the Bible, and sometimes I scratch my head. I don't quite understand it all. I have to study it and dig it all out. But the Holy Spirit helps me in that. Right, but there's some areas of the Bible doesn't really say, you know, should I take this job or should I not take this job? You know, the Bible doesn't give me a verse. Right? And the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us as we listen to His voice. That actually, 1 Corinthians goes on and talks about, look, because the Spirit is part of God, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because He's God, and now He lives in me, He can help me understand the things of God. Right? That's kind of cool. Right? We have a direct line with God through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But as the Holy Spirit is working in us, right? You know, I could have someone live in my house. Maybe you've had this. Maybe you had a house guest who stuck around maybe a little too long. I think it's Mark Twain who talks about visitors and fish. Both start stinking after 3 days. Right? Yeah, you know, you ever had someone who stayed and was going to live with you for a while? Right? I remember talking to a gentleman and his mother-in-law moved in with them. I said, how's it going? He goes, she's there. I see her once in a while, but I totally ignore her. Well, that's not probably the best way to have a relationship. Right? And just because the Holy Spirit's in our lives doesn't mean that we listen to Him. Right? We don't always heed that voice. And so in light of this, when Paul starts writing in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, we're going to go ahead and start picking up in verse 25, and start looking at this. I got the words on the screen. If you want to follow around in your Bible, that's fine. But in here, he starts talking, look, as I'm living out the Christian life, right? The Holy Spirit's in my life. And the Holy Spirit, one of His jobs is to try to make me more like Christ, to make me more like Jesus, as we sing in these songs, be more like Him. And so sometimes those choices we have. Several years ago, does everyone remember all the wristbands that were around the WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And it was a kind of reminder. It's like, oh, am I making choices that Jesus would do, or am I doing what I want to do? Right? And so that's probably a good philosophy to do. And the Holy Spirit is kind of like that in our lives, that He kind of helps us out along those ways. But the choices, the decisions that we make tells us whether or not we're listening to Him or not. Right? He's in my life. He lives in my heart. But do I listen to Him? Yeah, hopefully so. So Ephesians goes on thusly. He says, therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do ask the Spirit to be our teacher this morning. Lord, just use this time, Lord, to help us to hear your voice. Lord, help us to do what you want. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. You know, it's interesting because we go down through, he starts talking about all these things. And in here, he talks about the idea here in verse 30. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Not because I'm saved, and if you've accepted Christ, you're saved, the Holy Spirit now lives in you, and it's trying to help you make choices. Right? It's trying to help you along the way. What do I do with that? The Bible says, because the Holy Spirit isn't just a force, He's a person, that what we do can make Him happy, or it can make Him, what? Sad. Right? That now I have God who's living in my life, and we think of it this way, that here, that where I go, He goes. What I see, he sees. What I listen to, he listens to. And when we do things that are contrary to him, right? That makes him sad. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you godliness. He wants to produce in you results that will bring you closer to God, not things that bring you farther away. And so as we think of this, and in here he talks about this idea of grieving. I'll just throw this out here. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about quenching the Holy Spirit. He uses almost the idea of fire. Right? Because when I'm saved, I have the Holy Spirit. I have all the Holy Spirit. I don't get part of Him. I get all of Him. Right? So when you get saved, you have all the Holy Spirit. But the question is, what do you do with it? And when Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, he uses the idea of fire. Right? How many of you guys have ever worked a wood stove? Right? We lived in a place, had a little Franklin stove in the living room. And I don't know if it's a guy thing or just a me thing, but I love the stoke of fire. Right? You get it in there and you keep feeding, you poke it, you open the vents, you get it going. And I would get that so hot in the room, you know, that you get to the point where you're sitting on the couch and you're just kind of like... Right? It's just like, oh, just melted, feels so good. You can't do anything, because the minute you do, you got to pass out, right? My wife's like, what are you doing? And then it starts to go down a little bit, right? Got to throw some more stuff on. Got to have it full. Got to stoke it. You know, now in the middle of the night, I'm like, I don't care. I got your blanket. I don't want to get up. You know, but it's fun while you're doing it, right? You know, stir it up. The idea is you want to get the fire all consumed. You want that flamed up. And in our lives, Paul uses this idea of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's a flame of God fully engulfing us in our lives. Or do we douse it? Right? Take a fire and just throw a little bit of water on it. Try to put it out. Try to quench it. And sometimes the choices that I make, what I choose to listen to, I can take that Spirit of God and I can quench it. You know? And there's Christians out there that say, you know what, God, I want to go to heaven when I die, you know, and I want to love you and I want to serve you, but boy, there's a whole lot of other things I really want to do. Right? And so when the Holy Spirit prods your heart a little bit in something, you're like, shh. Right? Kind of like when I'm driving down the road and my wife's like, you know, the speed limit's 55. I have a choice. I can slow down or I can tell her, shh, mind your business. We have a GPS in the middle now, which is horrible because she can see what the speed limit is. She can know all that. I tried to unplug it once thinking that she'll never... It didn't work, right? But we have a choice. To heed or not heed. We can make the Holy Spirit in our lives happy, or we can make the Spirit of God in our life sad. In here, the end of this verse is, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I love the idea here, when Paul talks about seals to the day of redemption, what's that mean? And in here, we think of, you know, sort of a couple, when they get married in our country, oftentimes we exchange what? Rings. And the idea here is this, look, we're sealed to the day of redemption. It's kind of the idea of an engagement ring. That when I proposed to my wife, I said, will you marry me? I gave her a diamond ring. And in that was a promise that says, look, there's going to be a day where I'm going to marry you. Right? And she wore that ring. And part of that deal was, look, guys, stay away from her. Right? Maybe that's just me. You know, I wanted her when she was out and about, I wanted other guys to see that she wore this ring to keep all the other guys away. Why? Because she's sealed until that wedding day. As a promise. when we are saved, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes, dwells in us, and the Bible says that He is like that engagement ring. We have Him in our lives that keeps us. It's a promise that someday we will be with Him forever. I don't know if that picture makes sense or not, but the Holy Spirit is that sign of promise. Now, if my wife was engaged to me, and she turned around and decided, you know what, John's out of town, but I want to go to this party, and she took off that ring, and she goes, I'm going to go and act however I wanted to, that would grieve me. Right? Because she has that seal of promise. And that's those pictures that God's using here with the Holy Spirit in our lives. When He gives us that, and He's in us, and He's prodding us, and He's helping us. And in here, He's trying to encourage us. When we don't listen to Him, Paul says, you know, it's just like a girl taking off that engagement ring. You know, I'll wear it when it's convenient. That's not how it works. Right? So in here, he talks about this idea of grieving the Spirit of God. And in these verses, I broke this up in the things that make God sad and things that make Him happy. And so I just kind of go through and look at some of these verses and break this down. Really kind of simple. The first one in verse 25, he talks about the idea of lying. Let us speak truth to one another. God is truth. God cannot lie. Because of God being truth, He wants to produce in us honesty. There's a scene, and I have no idea, I've looked it all over, because I want to give credit to it, but one of my favorite sayings is that everything spoken needs to be the truth, but not every truth needs to be spoken. Right? We need to have wisdom. Sometimes I've had people come up and say very hurtful and very mean things to me, saying, oh, I just told you the truth. Wow, you just stabbed me in the heart. Right? You know, people say, oh, well, because I'm a Christian, I'm telling the truth. No, you're being mean, right? Just because something's true doesn't mean you have to repeat it. But in here, the words that we speak should be words of truth. Should be words of truth. James tells us that our yeses should be yeses and our noes should be noes. Right? You know, you listen to politicians and listen to lawyers and they parse every word and what's this mean and what's that mean, and right? You get to a point where you can't believe anything they said because there's always a loophole in how their language is. Right? Well, guess what? A Christian shouldn't be that way. The Spirit of God wants to produce truthfulness in our lives. And especially here, he talks about to one another within the church. Right? Because there's sometimes that things that are true that sometimes are, I don't want to use the word hurtful, but if I'm doing something that is wrong, I need someone to pull me aside and say, you know what, Pastor? What you're doing isn't right. And you do it with love, you do it with compassion, not as a judgmental thing, but I need that encouragement. Right? I need the truth. And as we do that, we pursue on through, and the Holy Spirit will work in us and produce in us that honesty that we should have. Verse 27 talks about be angry and sin not. Now, I don't think it's condoning being angry, but it's kind of given to the fact that guess what? You will. Right? Has anyone in here ever gotten angry? Right? The other day I was out working on my truck. Actually, this week was work. Last week was my truck. This week was my car. I've played mechanic, which is not good. And I was doing underneath the car. And there's, you know, we live in Maine. Everything rusts. And so there's this one bolt I was trying to get off. Trying to get it. And it broke. And when it broke, I swung around and cut my thumb and hit... I don't know how I broke this. I cut this and nicked this at the same time. I don't know how I did that. And I'm there, and I'm like... I'm just getting so frustrated. It's like, this isn't working out. I got the wrong part from the auto store. You don't need to hear all this. But this is cheaper than therapy. And so I was like,
doing all that. And my daughter is riding around on her bike. And she starts laughing. "Ha ha, Dad, what happened to you? And I was like, right? So we try to work on appropriate laughter and not. And so she comes over and she's laughing at me. And she's like, "Well, Dad, what's wrong? Can't you do it?" And I was like, steam out of the ears like the old Flintstones. And I was like, and I was like, "Lauren," I said, "just shut up and go away." I got angry. You know what? I think the Holy Spirit was like, "John." Right? Because it happened. I got angry. But what I do with that anger is up to me. And I had to apologize. "And Lauren, I'm sorry for what I said. I was frustrated. I was doing all this." And now let's talk about appropriate and inappropriate laughing when you do all those things. We'll work on those things as well. That's a whole different sermon. But in here, right? Be angry, but what? Don't sin. And he goes on and says, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Then in here, we turn around and we look at this anger that we have. Because oftentimes our anger comes out because I'm hurt or it's my defense, right? Something's going on with me. Now, are there proper times to be angry? I believe so. I think there's a righteous anger. Right? We turn around, was it just this last fall? We had an 8-year-old a girl get killed in our town. That should make us angry. I think that's a righteous anger. But what do we do with it? Then in here, don't give place to the devil in our lives. And that's what that verse goes on to say. And don't let the sun go down in your wrath. I like to think I have a longer fuse. Maybe people in my life who know me well may disagree with that. But I'll tell you, sometimes I'll harbor it. Right? Then in here the Bible says, look, by the end of the day, work it out. Maybe I need to forgive. Maybe I need to reconcile. Maybe there's something I need to do to make it right, but take care of it. Don't let it fester. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Right? And sometimes I'm pretty good at festering. I may not blow up. I may not do that. But man, I'll kind of hold that grudge and nobody just can't. I'll just fester up and I'll be right? And then it's like, I've had enough. Right? And then it blows, and I tell my wife everything that's been going on for the past 8 months, all piled up. Right? Because you're like, and the Holy Spirit's been gnawing at me, saying, "Hey, John, give it up." Right? And it makes him sad when I harbor it, when I hang on to it, and I let it fester in my lives. The Holy Spirit's telling me to forgive, and I don't want to. Right? I'm justified. I deserve it. No, I don't. So when I'm angry, when I let my anger get the best of me, when I dwell on it, it grieves the Holy Spirit in my life. Verse 28 talks about stealing. Let him who steals steal no more. Now maybe you're not going around in the stores and putting stuff in your pocket. Maybe you are. Well, the Bible says stop it. All right, that's pretty easy, right? But we turn around and talk about the idea of stealing, taking something that doesn't belong to me. And actually, what theft really comes down is I'm more important than you. It's yours, but I deserve it more. So I'm going to take it upon myself to take it from you. But it can be material things, like I said. It could be, putting something in your pocket. Walking through the store or in your purse, my brother worked in security in a grocery store. And he goes, you'd be amazed. He caught a lady trying to steal a turkey underneath her dress. She was pinched between her knees and she was walking out. And he came out and goes, "Can I help you, ma'am?" And apparently he got a little thawed out and slipped down. Whoa, okay, don't do that. All right? Let me ask them, how about stealing time? right? We steal time. Boss says, punch in, do your work, and we're doing other things we're supposed to be doing. Taking something. We're in school, and we had one day we're sitting down in class, and a lady pulls up her purse, and she's handing out suckers to everyone. And she had a purse full of suckers. So I was like, wow, where'd you get all those? And she turns around, and she goes, oh, I got them from the bank. So we got a bag full of suckers. She goes, yeah. She goes, they had a job cleaning the bank. And so every night she would go around, and as she was cleaning the bank, there's the big sucker bowl. She'd empty the whole thing into her purse. And she goes, they're free. Well, they're free one person per sucker per time. But when you're taking the whole thing and putting it in your purse, I think you're crossing the line, right? But these are things that are common, right? Do we make it in the habit of being honest? And in here, that, you know, the cashier gives us too much change. Do we give back the extra? Or do you say, hey, ka-ching! It's, you know, I've won today, right? Or you can get charged right for something. Do we go back and do those things? You know, listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. And sometimes what happens is we get to a point where we become so callous to it. We have ignored it so much that we don't even hear that voice anymore. We steal. Verse 29 says, don't let any corrupt words come out of your mouth. The word corrupt words has the same word that you use for like spoiled fruit or rotten fish. Corrupt words. What's our language? Not just curse words, but how about dirty language? How about hurtful language? Right? How about gossip? All these things that come out of our mouth that hurt. I had a lady who used to always come to me and goes, Pastor, I probably shouldn't say this. And I stop her. I said, then you probably shouldn't. Right? If you're down south, they say, well, bless your heart. Then you can say anything you want. Right? Hurtful words. I remember growing up hearing the old tale, sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Names will never hurt me. Can I tell you something really honest? I think I've been hurt more from names that people have called me and the words that people have said than the sticks and stones they've thrown at me. Corrupt words. Grieve the Holy Spirit. Last one is bitterness. Bitterness, resentment, hurt, these things that we take and we harbor in our lives that fester. I've known people who are mad at people who've been dead for 20 years. I won't let it go. I won't let it go. I won't forgive. I won't forget. Right? And that bitterness festers up in us. And it's a cancer that eats us from the inside out. And the Holy Spirit says, forgive, to let it go. And we refuse not to do it. The flip side of this is, how do I know the Holy Spirit's work in my life? Right? As I stop and I listen to him, how do I know what's right or wrong? Well, guess what? If it asks us to do any of those that other list, then that's me talking. That's not the Spirit of God. But these same verses show us the flip side of things. The first one, don't speak lies, but what? Words of truth. Words of truth. That even the idea of what I'm saying, am I building up people? Am I helping people? Am I encouraging people? That in my life, that am I known for being an honest person? That I do what I say? Right? Can I tell you something? If I mess up, be honest and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I blew it. Acknowledgement of the truth and look at things from God's point of view, not necessarily ours. Lord, have the work in my life. And, you know, especially in verse 25, talks about within the family of God. As Christians, that we should be able to be honest and open with each other, knowing that we love each other, knowing that we care for each other, knowing that we're saying these things not because I want my way or not because I want to hurt you, but in here, can we agree? And sometimes, you know what, can we agree to disagree? Just because we disagree doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable. Maybe you just see things differently. Right? And we've looked at this whole passage, talk about the body of Christ. We are different. And that's okay. You know, when we come to church, can we be honest and open? I mean, so many times, you know, people come and they want to put on the perfect facade and everything's fine, everything's great, and then I go home and I'm heartbroken on the inside. That's not truth. And we should be able to be honest and find forgiveness and find love. Right? Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Forget wrath. Right? Give up the right to be angry. Forgive. The Bible says I need to forgive. I have been forgiven. God has forgiven me a whole lot. And I need to be able to willing to give that up. Forgetting the wrath. Turn them over to God. God, you do the work in their life. I always found it interesting, verse 28 talks about the idea of, look, let him who steal no more, but let him what? Work. That in here, instead of taking, become a giver in our lives. In here, God has designed us to be productive, to work. Idle hands get ourselves in trouble. And the Bible tells us it's good. I remember talking to someone who's looking for a job once, and I said, well, down the road they're hiring, you know. And they're like, well, you know, that job's kind of beneath me. And I was kind of like, well, they pay more than you're making now. Right? And over the course of my life, you know, I was talking to someone, they're like, well, you're a pastor, you don't know what it's like to really work. I'm like, okay. You know? It's like, you know, I've worked everything from working produce in a grocery store to working in the back of a garbage truck to working in a mill. You know? I had months where I was scrubbing toilets. I mean, I was... You know what? Any job as honest is an honorable job. We've lost that perspective. But in here, not just for myself, but notice it says that He may give to those that I need. That in here, that is the Spirit of God in my life, changes me from being a taker. The Spirit of God wants me to be a giver. A giver. That when I see a need, I can give to it. Not that we ever don't ever get me in a position where we need something. Don't get me wrong, that's not what I was talking about. But it comes from that expectation that in here, as the Spirit of God is working in my life, He's going to give me a generous spirit in my life to help, to assist, to help out, to give. Be generous, knowing that God will take care of me. Words of edification. Edification just is a fancy word that means to build up. Don't let any corrupt word come out of my mouth, but words that are necessary for edification. You know, it takes just as much energy to build someone up as it does to tear them down. Anyone can criticize. Criticism is easy, right? But to look and encourage and build up someone goes a long way. You know? And this says, look, I care about you. I care about you. And sometimes it is tough words, right? But why do I say it? Sometimes it's just an encouraging word along the way. You know, just take a moment to say thank you. That was a good job. To notice something. Years ago, I talked to a pastor, and he had retired and he went to another church to help out them. And I was talking to him and he goes, yeah, he goes, one thing I noticed about the pastor that I have now, he goes, he always says thank you. And he goes, you know what, in my 40 years of ministry, he goes, I never told the congregation thank you. He goes, he was a Marine. right? In his previous life. He says, why should I thank people for doing what they're supposed to do anyways? Right? It's your job. You're supposed to do it. Why? And he's like, you know what? I've noticed a response from people as this pastor was saying thank you, was saying thank you, was saying thank you. That it built people up. It encouraged them along the way. And here was this old, tough Marine ex-pastor who turned around and said, I wish I would have said thank you more often. It costs you nothing. But it goes so far, doesn't it? Come along with someone, encourage them, support them. Use words of encouragement. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Got two more. One is mercy. Works of mercy in people's lives. Right? Mercy is giving something to someone they don't deserve. God is merciful to me. I don't deserve His forgiveness. I don't deserve His love, but He gives it. And when we look around at people, the world kind of says, well, if I help you, what can you do for me? Right? I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. And oftentimes we kind of look at people that way. You know, what can I get out of this relationship? Right? The Holy Spirit says, look, I want to show mercy. How can I show kindness? How can I reach out? What can I do for someone who doesn't deserve it? Or someone who can't pay it back? Right? To give without expecting anything in return. That's the Holy Spirit in our life. Lastly, forgiveness. The idea of forgiveness means that you give up the right to be paid back. Right? I've been hurt. Someone did something. And I choose to forgive. And like I said, maybe it's something that happened long ago. Maybe there's something that you've been hanging on to and God says, give it up. Maybe it's something you need to turn to and say, you know what, I'm sorry. And it's funny because sometimes you go around through and you know what, I've gone to someone and said, I'm sorry. And sometimes they've said, for what? And here I've been angry and I've been holding this grudge and they don't even know about it, right? It's like, oh, okay, I should have done this long ago. Sometimes I've gone to someone and said, look, you know, I'm sorry. And you kind of expect that, well, I'm sorry back, right? And you don't get it. You ever had that? What if I ask someone for forgiveness and I'm waiting for that and they don't give it? Well, sometimes we just got to do our part. What they do with it is between them and God. Right? You know, in my life, for a long time, I was really bitter against my dad. My dad got divorced, moved off, started a family with another lady, and just kind of abandoned us, and didn't have much to do with us at all. And I was angry, and I was bitter. It took me a long time to get to a point where, you know what? I need to forgive. And I have brothers who are still bitter, and who are still angry, and we've talked about it. And he goes, you know what? Not once did my father ever ask for that forgiveness. Well, it wasn't about him, it was about me. It was eating me up. It was affecting my walk with the Lord. And I needed to forgive. And I did. And it was so freeing. It was so freeing to give it up. And let the Holy Spirit now have His way in our lives. So when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, the choices we do, the voices we listen to, if we listen to Him and do the things He asks us to do, we make the Holy Spirit happy in our lives. But when we choose not to do those things, we sadden Him. And we grieve Him. And the worst thing that we can do as Christians is get to a point where we neglect Him so much that we have a hard time hearing even what He wants us to do. But we need to pray for a sensitive spirit, to heed His voice, that He can have His way in our lives. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. We thank you that He resides in us. Lord, He's guiding us, directing us. Lord, I pray we listen to Him and do things that are pleasing in His sight. But if not, Lord, we thank you that you will forgive us. Lord, and help us to do what you want us to do. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.